Welcome, welcome, welcome. My gong is on a holiday for this episode. And won't be coming back until I treat it a lot nicer. So I thought I'd entertain you with me, give you plenty of me. So this podcast is coming from me to you. And I hope you've all had a wonderful week or so, or 2 weeks since the last podcast. So since the last one, I got asked some questions, so I'm not sure whether I'll split this into two podcasts or just one, or just ramble on until I've answered everyone's questions. And the first one goes, I once wrote, I did a podcast article basically titled, Do You Want to Become a Bagua Zhang Immortal? Or, forgive my pronunciation, a Bagua Zhang Immortal, aka a Bagua Zhang Xian. And it's had quite a few listens to it. And this person basically asked me to elaborate more. What is a Xian or an immortal in the sense of Bagua Zhang? And this also indirectly refers to Taoism because Bagua Zhang is a Taoist martial art. So I'm going to jump backwards and forth talking about at least two or three different things. And I hope you can follow me. Okay. In terms of cultivation, as a Bagua Zhang practitioner, there comes a point in the practice where you have cultivated the different stages. So you've done your jing, you've done your qi, you've done your xian, as in your mind. You've done also your xian, which is your heart. And you've done maybe wu as well. And on and on and on and on. And what I want to elaborate before I carry on is that in alchemy, sometimes those words can be switched around with other words, especially in Chinese. So like one alchemist may be more focused on their xian, which is their heart mind. And another one might be more focused on the blood side of things. And another one might be going, I want to focus more on the marrow. It all depends on what they're trying to achieve and what their goals and aims are. That is why when you ever read an alchemy text, there are hundreds of them and they're all different and they all can be confusing. The important thing is to understand where the focus lies, where the alchemist was trying to go with their cultivation. Now, with Xian or immortality, the same thing. And it is actually both in Bagua Zhang a title, because in Taoism it can be used as a title, as in like Grand Master, Sifu, practitioner. They're all just titles. And in some schools, Taoist schools, it's more of an honorary title. It just acknowledges what you have achieved. It's the equivalent of going to university and getting one of those honorary doctorates or professorship. It's merely a title acknowledging your achievements to the school, the style, the art. In some systems where they have belts, you could be getting another belt, maybe white and red, or some other color versus the traditional white, black, and the colors in between. So, having said that, in Bagua, going back to Bagua Zhang, being an immortal is more than just a title. Yes, it is a title, but it's much more. Especially if you're really deeply working on your internal cultivation. The first thing, what you need to understand with Bagua Zhang is that as an internal system, because some of you would have gone beyond the external, which is wanting to know how to do Bagua Zhang in terms of fighting, a fighting style. You want to go deeper. Because frankly, most of your problems are manifested from within. Most of the external bullshits and problems that you deal with is because internally you're weak. Not weak as in vulnerable, but there's a lot of stuff you still need to learn, and those external problems are just there to help you cultivate those internal parts of you. So going back to Xian. Now, in Chinese, there are three standard ways of writing it. You have the standard way, and then you have a more ancient way, and then you've got an alternative. But in actual fact, there are actually seven different ways, and I will talk about it because this is very important in terms of the Bagua side of Bagua Zhang. The walking the circle part, which is what I normally refer to, which is what produces the cultivation, is your Zhuang Zhan part, your rotational or turning or circular palms, the walking meditation. That's the physical part. The more spiritual mental part of it is the Ba Gua side of it. That is knowing what the different guas or trigrams mean, but more importantly is what you call them. That's why it's really important in the style of Bagua Zhang you're doing, they give them all these different names. So one could be strongly focused on animals, the eight animals. And it's important because that's how you visualize, that's how you grow to understand what you're actually trying to do. So back to the Bagua side in Xian, there's at least seven. There should be really eight, but there are seven you can find on the internet. And at the end of this podcast, in the text, I will list out the seven. So you got a reference. You can do a quick copy and paste and go look it up yourself. You will not find much information on it, even in Chinese. They will all just say, they all mean the same thing. They all mean Xian, immortal. But the strokes are important, and the way you write the character is important. And I'm going to now tell you a little bit of the different versions, and if you have decided to go, I'm going for that version of Xian, at least you know what you're aiming for. So here goes. The first one is the standard one, which is in the prefix, the left hand side, you have the prefix for person, and on the right hand side, you have the suffix for mountain. And it literally just means mountain man. This is like in Kiwi parlance means you've gone bush. In America, the nearest equivalent would be you're living off the grid. Immortality comes from the healthy lifestyle that comes from living away from other people. So you're living off the grid. You're basically no longer eating processed food. You're living off the earth. You're trying to live as natural as possible. You've gone wild compared to most people who live in a city. You live on your own, so you have less people problems. You pick mushrooms in the bush, go hunting. Generally, all these activities, if you are going down that road, and I'm not going down the extreme end, which is you become a hermit and a recluse. The immortality is basically you live longer than your fellow man who lives in the city. You literally live longer. You know, those of you who live in some very dangerous urban areas, you know what I mean. You're not going to get shot up by a stray bullet, or your neighbor's not going to shoot you or yell at you. Even just arguing with your neighbors is going to put less stress on you. And because you're less distracted, you can focus more on your martial arts. That's literally what a lot of them do. They go into the forest, into the mountains, to cultivate their inner chi, their Tao. They want to be close to nature. They don't want to deal with the dramas that hold them back. So that's the first one. The second standard one that you sometimes see, or an alternative one, is you have man at the top and mountain at the bottom. So the man sitting on top, which literally also means mountain man, but more implies the image of the wise old man on top of the mountain. Now, not all of us are going up to the mountain to live. We just can't. But in a symbolic sense, what this one refers to is your immortality comes from what you have created. You see the person at the top, which is Yang outside, but internally, he has created a mountain. A good example would be Einstein. He is a giant of his field, Albert Einstein. In the Kung Fu sense, he would be labeled as an immortal. So you ask me, well, what did he do that makes him immortal? Well, the mountain is his theory of relativity. And he's the man on the top. You know, people currently, you can pick a whole host of people. It's the same thing. That's what the immortality means. Your immortality, your thing that you've created, lasts beyond you. So us, in a sense, who have written books, yeah, those books will outlive us. This podcast will outlive me. The videos created will outlive us. It could be also school. The patriarch, creator of this style, Master Dong Hai Chuan, what did he leave? He left this martial art for us to inherit. The third one is a little more complicated, and it has a man on the left-hand side, the suffix meaning a person, and on the top, divided into three, is something which looks like a bottle of wine, and then you've got three strokes which mean big, and then you've got on the bottom this squirrely little thing, which implies promotion but can also mean a snake. And you can imagine a hand holding up a bottle of wine above the snake so the snake can't see it. It's a very unusual one in that it's typically translated as meaning a hermit, a recluse. Like, now we're getting serious. We're thinking about those people who live in the cave and don't want to be around anyone. But in my experience, it means actually moving up in the world. Not necessarily getting promoted, but you do something in your life that allows you to move up in the world. What that is, I can't speak for you. Some people translate it as a man in the process of climbing the mountain. Because the first two, the one where the man is on top of the mountain, he's there already. The one on the side is a man, he's not climbing it, but he's actually living in the mountains. So this one is like moving up. So maybe you're climbing the corporate ladder. It invokes the transition between the belts from white belt all the way to black belt and above. But it is that act. The hermit part, where that really comes from, is that, like all mountains, in the end, there can be only one. Just like in the movie Highlander, there can be only one. There can only be one at the top of the pecking order. And so as you move further up that mountain, that pyramid, it becomes more and more lonely. To the people who don't understand, yeah, you're becoming more of a hermit. You're becoming more of a recluse. You're becoming more isolated. It's not a choice. It's just a fact of life. The martial world likes to think you're fighting your way to the top. They love to see the struggle, like a competition. But a lot of times there is no fight, there is no struggle. People just drop off because they don't want to, it gets too hard for them, or whatever. Okay, now we move on to the fourth one. The fourth word for immortal is, again, a mountain at the bottom, and you have the strokes as if it looks like a man on top, but there's this little notch, so the strokes are done differently. It's like this long flowing thing. And this one is interesting because this one It's used to normally describe those tribal gatherings or villages who live in the mountains. They have a unique culture, they have a unique lifestyle, they have a unique cuisine, and it's unique enough to make them keep them remote enough from everyday urban living. There is something different about them that isolates them. In terms of Baguazhang, what it means is, if you're following this one, it means that Baguazhang has become your lifestyle, not just your lifestyle, but your way of living, your way of life. You're not just doing Baguazhang to keep you fit. You're not just doing it because you want to become an awesome fighter. You're not just doing it because you got nothing else. You do it because it is a part of who you are. It is a part of your identity. Literally, it's like, I don't know, forgive me if I sound a little bit off color here, but it's like being Jewish. You don't even have to practice the Jewish religion. If you're born into it, you're born into it. It's part of your identity. It's part of your tribal makeup. And people can see it in you without even having to ask. They can go, yep, that man's Jewish. He acts Jewish, behaves Jewish. It's just who he is. And Baguazhang is the same. It's like people can see, literally, you are a Baguazhang master. You don't have to go around and tell people, I do Baguazhang, I do this, I do that. They know it, they can feel it. And they will give you the respect that's due without having to go around fighting for it. It's just part of that identity. The fifth one is, how would I describe this one? Again, it's the mount. On the Suffolk side, you have the mountain and you have the person on the top. But on the prefix side, the left-hand side, you have a person. It's like two versions of the immortality joined together. When I first saw it, I thought, isn't this one a bit of an overkill? You know, are you trying to cover all your bases? No. From my experience, what it means is this immortality is where, in Taoism, a lot of the ancient teachers were called immortals. Because they have the skills, the experience in life, the lessons to teach others. This is where the master is actually helping others to achieve immortality through teaching. This is literally the immortality that is also when I refer to it as a title. And it means you've become realized in the self, but enough to know that you can help others. In some cultures, because this word xian, slight changes in tones is in Persian, it's in Indian languages, it's in Tibetan, it's in a few others. And what it means is you're basically a wise man, a wizard, a sage. You can't help but be that teacher that goes around and helps others. You're helping them to lift up. Sometimes you're not even teaching. Sometimes you're the one who knows, who can see through the third eye what the other person needs in order to progress, move ahead. And you end up giving it to them or showing them the way. That doesn't mean you walk the way for them. No, you have to do the work, the Baguazhang yourself. It is a powerful place to be, and it is one with a lot of respect and one with a lot of responsibility. And it's not there for everybody. This is just, I'm just talking within the Bagwajan community. Because that's what I know about. The next one, which is the sixth one. This one is... Okay, the prefix has got a person again. And the suffix side looks like the one which is like promotion with the bottle of wine and the person. Only this one is got more strokes. So you literally have two hands holding up the bottle one. You can actually see it. And then you have the character for big and you again have the little squiggly line. This one is promotion that comes from success. This one is you get promoted because you know your shit. You really do it. You're able to help other people. And in terms of cultivating, the act of helping others helps you to cultivate further. Being a Xian isn't just the fantasy side of it. It's the accumulation of all your experiences down and feeding it into your Dan Tien. And when you sit down and you take all those experiences around Bagwajang that you've had, and you're standing there or sitting there and you're meditating and you're feeding it down. Some people describe it as feeling a bit pukey, but you're kind of feeling that your Dan Tien within is bubbling, boiling. It's like this black liquid that's churning like an internal sea, and you can feel it. As it collapses in on itself. This is not the negative type of collapse. This is a positive thing. And you feel the relief that comes with everything just felt so full moments before is suddenly collapsing in. And it's like you feel lighter and you've got something solid within your Dan Tien. And you're trying to compact this black seed into the smallest ball thing that you can think of. Nugget. Let's use that word, nugget. And you're compressing it in your Dan Tien. And it takes a while. It'll take many tries. You do a little bit and then you let go. You got to do something else. Come back later, weeks later. Do a little bit more. And then occasionally you find yourself doing it automatically and you can feel that it's almost due, it's almost ready. And you come to this point in doing your Bagwajang where you're walking the circle, whatever style you're doing. This is the other part about Bagwajang. You need to be able to see in your mind where the journey takes you and how it takes you within the style you've got. Because for some styles, the original creator of that sub-style was a bit more focused on it. Others were into other things. So it takes a little longer. And then all of a sudden, as when you're just due, you suddenly feel this drop, the sinking down within, like something has just crumbled and crushed itself. And there is this heavy burden that you didn't know you had just disappears as you feel this relief. And it, for some people, they can't help it, but the release comes with like tears and tiredness. That feeling of when you're over too top tired and you just feel it there. It's crushing in But you keep going, you keep going, and you say, I'm going to take it to the other side. And you crush it until that center of yours becomes the stark single singularity that you need it to be. And then you take it beyond. Boom. And it invertly expands. And when you see that in your mind, there is this overwhelming sense of relief, as in your mind you can sense the golden embryo. It's not really an embryo. It's more of a golden nugget that just sort of glows gold as it just hums away. It's like this inner fire that just churns at your core. When you have one of those within you, it's not something you will share with others. Go, oh, I have a golden embryo. Oh, I have this. Because everyone around you won't understand, but you can feel it. And you will notice that the years of training and all the experiences where you've gone through close to death, near death, around death, through death. Let's call it what people call it sometimes, near-death experience. All those events where you should have died, but you didn't. You know it off the top of your head that you should not exist in this moment, but you do. You should have been dead years ago because of certain events, but somehow you are still here. For other people who are more focused on the mind, it's the feeling where you get like, this ain't real. None of this is real. My presence is an illusion. But you can't explain it. That is the true unwritten moment of being a Xian in the cultivation stage. But you're going, but, I just live in the city. My life is still the way it is. That's the external stuff. The internal is different. The process of getting there feels like a gut burn when you've been bench pressing or pushing yourself over the limit of whatever sports activity, but you haven't been doing any sports. You're just sitting there breathing. In and out. But it feels the same. And in that moment, when you become a Xian, you cross a line. Those who have some grounding in it and understanding will understand. They will see that there's something different about you. But they don't know what. They can't put it into words. But one of those things that do come out is that you start talking stuff and they're going, where do you know all the stuff? And you'll just go, what stuff? And they go, oh, you know, this and that and everything. Did you learn something? You go, no, I'm just talking normal shit. I'm just having a talk with you. What are you talking about? The process of the immortal or becoming one is there in Bagua Zhang. It's something in the Bagua side, you really have to sit down and go, okay, what style of Bagua am I learning? Bagua Zhang am I learning? Yin, Fu, Wong, whatever. The original creator of it, not Dong Hai Chuan, but his students, the one who created the Yin Fu style, the one who created the Fusa, the one who created the Wong style. What was their life story about? Where were they going? What were they into? Because they would have imparted in that sub-style the journey that they want their students to learn. The very first form that I learned was from the Wang Shujin style, Wang style. He was the one that went to Taiwan. And I remember learning it and going, but he's into, his story always talks about him having an iron gut and getting people to punch him in the stomach. And I go, but nowhere in the style does it, do I get the sense, I get something more mystical going on here. So I went and looked up his life story, and yeah, he was a Taoist and a mystic. And that was more important to him rather than having an iron gut. The iron gut was just the martial arts side of things. The iron gut was from the essence that I can sense was just there so he could sit there and meditate and cultivate. And if anyone attacked him, it wouldn't make a difference. It would just bounce right off. But you get students, and so you have to show them the parlor tricks. I think I really have rambled on in this podcast and talked about more than one thing. So I'm going to stop it there because it's already been 32 minutes and I will just keep the text really brief, but I will add the seven characters. There is a seventh one. I'm still working on it, so I have not said anything about it, but when you listen to the podcast and you look at the characters, you can see quite clearly. That one is still in the pipelines and I'm working on it. So take care. I hope this has helped those of you who are on the same journey and who are, again, if your Taoist cultivation is through the martial arts and through Bagua Zhang, then this is for you. For the rest of you, I hope I've managed to keep you for 32 minutes. So I know it can be a bit too much for a lot of people. Take care.